You walk seven steps, you back up four steps, you do-si-do, you swing, and then move on to the next. Mm-hmm. And I try to get everybody up in the first dance. This teaches promenade, do-si-do, swing. That's all. Mm-hmm. And after we've gone around the hall maybe a dozen times, with the present partner, doesn't matter who it is, we fall into a grand march of Paul Jones. And I march him up two, and two go left, and two go right, and I march him up four, and I march him up eight. And then I say the ends of the lines join hands in a circle. Now change your circle into a square. One couple back to each wall. Where's the fellow who said he wasn't going to square dance? Well, he's with somebody else's wife, and he can't very well say, dear, let's sit this one out. So they're committed. Then I do Marching Through Georgia, which is designed entirely to make them listen. And I use Bob Dulcimer's old version, not so old version, which has a hip hip hooray in it. Mm-hmm. So that not only are they learning how to listen, but they're beginning to laugh and cheer, and when I say you're going the wrong way, some of them are turning and going the other way, and you know how it eases people into it so neatly.
Right.
Then I do Duck for Oysters. Skip to my loo. And I always award a prize if it's a group of kids particularly. I say, who can identify this song that we're playing now? You get a yellow Cadillac for me if you can identify this. Or a free trip to the Bahamas. And somebody in the back always raises a hand and says, skip to my loo, and everybody laughs. And I tell them to go see the committee for the prize. And then we do skip to my loo, which teaches them visiting couples. The second set I do is Uptown Downtown, Golden Slippers, which teaches them switch partners. Mm-hmm. And then I do Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight, which I explained on the email, but I'll tell you now for the tape.
Yeah, I wish you would. Yeah.
It's everybody bow to your partner. Everybody face your corner. Ah! Gentlemen, put your right hand in your pocket. And some guy will say, hey, I found a quarter. Everybody give your left hand to your corner. That is not the hand in the pocket. Everybody hold left hands with your corner, walk around your corner holding hands, go back and face your partner. Let go of the corner. That's for that guy over there, you know. You can't have two at once. Now you may gently withdraw the right hand from the pocket and give it to your partner. Don't worry, you'll get it back. Now, walk right by your partner. Don't turn. Let go and give a left hand to the next one you meet and a right hand to the next. And meet your partner and stop. You must be able to recognize your own partner. See, they have their own partners now after that mixer was over. Do-si-do your partner. The way you did in the first dance. Now promenade your partner home. And we got that one licked.
Yeah.
We really, it licks it. It's no big bugaboo, it's no problem, it just works fine. And then during the course of a one-night stand, I'll always call six forward and back. I do a lady's chain figure, which is chain the ladies over and back, sides do the same. Then I have the sides forward and back, and the heads do the same. And then I get complicated and I say, the heads chain across and the sides chain across and the heads chain back and the sides chain back and all four chain. And we've got chaining all down pat. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, I do dances like Dip and Dive to Red Wing. I'll even do a Dip and Dive triplet if I have to. With my seniors, Ted had a triplet that has Dip and Dive in it.
Mm.
Then Hurry, 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 Solomon Levi. There's another one that I use fairly early in the evening. After the first couple is faced each other back to back, you see. You face each other back to back, first of all. Then you'll go back to back, face, you know. Separate, go around the outside track, pass right shoulders. Get home, pass your partner. That leaves you two facing your corners. Everybody face your corner. Everybody smile at your corner. Everybody wink at your corner. Everybody bow to your corner. Everybody swing your partner. Which is fun.
Sure.
They have fun.
Right.
And I tell them right out, outright, the only thing you can do wrong is not have fun.
Yeah.
Once in a while, when I, in the very first dance maybe, when I get them to circle left, and then I get them to circle right the other way back, this is a test. This is just a test. To see if you know your place. Or perhaps, gee, that was great. You haven't made a mistake yet. You know, all they've done is circle left and right. The only thing you can do wrong is not have fun. And we have fun, too.
Now, do you do anything like the old original Paul Jones?
Crisscross, marching, once in a while.
Yeah.
Where the ladies go left and the gents go right, or vice versa,
yeah,
rather.
Right.
And then from that corner, they diagonal across. That's part of a Paul Jones.
Okay. Well, you're talking what I would call a grand march.
It's a grand march, yeah.
Now, the old Paul Jones, I remember way back years ago, Paul Jones would be a circle mixer kind of a thing, and then when you got a new partner, the band would change into a waltz, and you would waltz one time through.
I am not a keen waltzer. I tend to tighten up and raise my shoulders when I waltz.
Okay.
And my wives have always said, relax, put your shoulders down. And in my mind, waltzing and square dancing are two different things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that I'm in a minority, but that's the way I feel about waltzes.
No, that's fine.
And I will not call first couple up center and there you divide.
Waltz quadrille.
Yeah. I don't call a waltz quadrille.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a happy combination of dances to end the dance with.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite dances is the Cumberland Square 8, partly because of England. I guess I learned that one over there.
Well, you wouldn't do that with a small crowd, would you?
I'll do it with any kind of
a
crowd. Oh, I love it when they're 20 squares and they all get banging into each other. That's great. And we pick up the tempo a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to end on a high note. When we finish that dance, I'll turn around and tell the orchestra, go ahead and play Goodnight Sweetheart or Waltz, but I'm so keyed up, and the dancers are so keyed up generally, I'm thinking about last Thursday night, that maybe two couples get up and waltz.
Yeah.
And I don't do round dancing, except I've got to admit, I've got to make an admission here. A consulting job that I had after I left work took me to Tennessee I flew down every Monday morning, American Airlines, got to know the hostesses, and got seats and coffee and so on, or tea rather. And I flew home every Friday afternoon for 9 months on a consulting job. I produced a catalog, a parts catalog for a company. As a matter of fact, for the Singer Company after I left them. And I had Monday night and all the way through Thursday night with nothing to do particularly. So I looked for dances. I went over to Gatlinburg and did some great big circle dances up in the hills. But I also took lessons. I had previously taken a few lessons from a guy named Al Brundage in Norwalk, I guess. And I did graduate from the Tennessee Running Horses Square Dance Club, MSD. What, Modern Square Dance? MWSD.
Yeah.
And I did have a badge, but I never went beyond that. And we did some round dancing there, but...
You remember about what time that, what year that was?
Yeah, that would be 1965, 1966, 1967, somewhere
yeah.
in there.
Okay.
I don't know who the caller was. I didn't. But I came home and I immediately started calling my own dances all over again the way I always had.
Right.
And I never felt the need for it. I was one of the charter members. I was not an organizer, but I was one of the charter members along with Al and Earl Johnston of the Connecticut Square Dance Callers and Teachers Association.
Right.
The moment I heard that they were getting that off ground, I sent a wire to Al, a telegram, and told him that I wanted to be a member of that organization. And I supported that organization for, in my small, own small way, that
yeah.
is, for a number of years.
Let's think about some of those members now. You remember Kip Benson?
Yep.
And,
Fairfield.
No, he came from Berlin.
Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin. And,
I went to some of, Al's dances in those days, and
yeah.
I went to some of Earl's. But they weren't full of made-up figures. They were mostly genuine old square dance figures.
Yeah.
The first one that I met that I didn't really like was Do Passo. And I think that's been dropped, hasn't it, pretty much?
No, well, it's still done.
Yeah. But it's not, they used to be the staple of every dance
right.
in those days.
Yeah.
In the early 50s.
Yeah, everything was arm turning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to Stepney a number of times before the motorcycle crowd took over.
Yeah.
I do English country dancing, but not avidly or not with great love or spirits, because I've been in England so much.
Well, you do some Scottish, too, don't you?
I do a little Scottish.
Yeah.
I've been to England 20 times.
Ah.
And when I go for the minimum of a month, and or stay 2 months or 3 months, and dance all over the place. I've been to festivals. After Sidmouth, the other festivals started hiring me. I've been to festivals in Eastbourne and Broadstairs and Whitby as staff, which broadened my experience.
Right.
Got to know a lot of callers, got to know a lot of bands, and I got to know a lot of dancers who would then in turn invite me to come to their clubs and call dances for them.
Mm.
I'm still a subscriber to Jack Hamilton's Folk in Kent, do you know it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we have a pretty complete collection, actually.
If there are any issues you don't have...
Oh, good. I'm glad to know that.
I have a collection of them. This is 1989.
There you go.
Jack just retired from this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've stayed with Jack. I've stayed with the fiddle player, Jack and Trish are good friends. Jack has come over here. Whenever English people come over here, they manage to find our place and come. We return hospitality.
Well, we just had an English caller in Albuquerque, and I forget his name now, but there's another one that came a few months ago. His name is Bernie Chuck.
Bernie is a very, very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I stayed up all night with Bernie in a pub the night that his father died, because he was in Sidmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie also has done me some favors that he didn't plan to do. I've gone to a number of Bernie's dances where Bernie was still in the pub and didn't get to the dance on time. And I've called the first three or four dances, first set maybe, or maybe even two sets at some of Bernie's dances. I've called at places where we couldn't turn the electricity on for some reason or other, and it turned out you have to put a 50p piece in a meter box. Bernie remembers that dance. I have an interesting experience in England. I ran out of socks one time, and I bought some socks in Woolworths. They have Woolworths stores over there. They were pink and they were orange, colors like that. And I remember one of the dances where I filled in briefly for Bernie, I was up on the stage and my orange socks were quite obvious. And I was asked by somebody in the audience, where did you get those socks? I said, I bought them in Sidmouth, right here in England, in Woolworth's store. Actually, they were the only ones they had. And, oh, well, that explains it. No Englishman would buy socks like that.
That's funny. Well, Cova, we're down to the end of this tape, so I'm going to stop and change tapes. Hold on.
Here, Cova. We're talking about Bernie Chalk.
No, it's interesting. I just, he was one of the gentlemen that I interviewed. I went to his dance in Albuquerque, and very nice. A little slightly different, you know, things. But,
okay. Back in the duty hall days, we had a job in Westport when, William Benton was running for Senate in the state of Connecticut. Benton came to our dance in a helicopter and landed in the field outside at somebody's Westport farmhouse. And Jacob Javits was there with him. And Benton wouldn't dance, but Jake Javits got up. And he danced up a storm. He really had a great time. We had a job for the Rockefellers in 1948 over in Westchester County. It was a house that someone had moved out of, a great big mansion, like a 12-bedroom house. There was a carcass of a deer hanging on the front porch, and a slide, I call it a Kelly slide. You know what a Kelly slide is? Is a slide that the kids have on a playground.
Right.
They had a slide from the second story down to the first floor, and people were sliding down that. They had chickens in cages. The house had been empty. We had a little. Oh, here's something else too. When I was still working in New York, I used to go to Folk Dance House. Michael and Marianne.
Herman.
As a matter of fact, and I'm bragging now, one of their Tuesday night sessions, Marianne said, I've learned a new dance, the Salty Dog Rag. And she and I went through the first two parts of it. And I said, well, how about the third part? and she didn't know it. I taught Mary Ann.
There you go.
The third part.
The chicken tracks, right?
Yeah, with the heels.
Yeah.
The heels and toes. You
yeah,
know?
I always call,
you
it
call them chicken tracks.
Chicken tracks, yeah.
Well, I taught Mary Ann that part of that particular dance.
That's funny.
At that time, I was running a folk dance session in Norwalk in the Cranberry Chapel. Every week, every Friday night, I had a group of people came in. Well, I was working in the city, so every Tuesday night I went to Folk Dance House, and Michael and Mary Ann taught me another dance or two, and then I'd come home and I was the expert on Friday. I taught them the dance that I'd learned on Tuesday. And that's how I got to do dances like that I still do. Salty Dog Rag, Troika, Road to the Isles. I did that in Scotland. I'll mention that to you, too. And I know what I would call a staple group of old traditional folk dances.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are old, and most of them are traditional.
Yeah.
And I still use those for a crowd that I have at a dance once every summer at Stony Brook in Weston. I just had that dance a month ago for this year. Originally down there, I used to have a dance every 2 weeks with the band, and we taught all the kids how to do these folk dances. It's a group of people from New York City whose background tends to be folk dance,
mm-hmm.
as well as squares. Of course, my business is square dance. And then the kids started going away to camps in the summer, and then they started getting married. So it's evolved into a once-a-year big, big dance. And I still use a lot of those folk dances at Stony Brook. I also use folk dances when I work with the seniors at a place like Almost Family. Do you know Almost Family?
No.
It's an adult daycare place.
I see, okay.
There's one in Danbury, there's one in Middlebury. I go to Middlebury once a month and Danbury once every 2 or 3 months. These people are in wheelchairs, they're in walkers, they're depressed. They're sent there so that their caregivers can get a little breathing space. But I always manage to get a big circle up, and we circle left, we circle right, we go into the center and back. We can make stars. I don't like do-si-do because you can lose your balance doing a do-si-do. It's better when we're holding hands, dancing like that. And I work with these people are in their 80s and 90s, a lot of them. And I go over there for an hour and a half on a fourth Thursday, and oh, they love it when I come. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so I jumped from Michael and Mary Ann Herman, folk dances, and my folk dance group. And for the graduation, take it back, I also ran a contra dance group. This is in the early 50s. Every Saturday night, I'd learn a new contra dance and then we'd do it. And I'd learn another one and then we would do it. All the classic dances, chorus jig,
mm-hmm.
Lady Walpole's reel, you know the lot.
Petronella?
Petronella. I love Petronella.
Yeah.
I have Petronella done by that band.
Oh.
It's a fantastic take.
Yeah.
I can play it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then for graduation from the contra dance group that I had, I invited Ralph down. I know Ralph because my in-laws had a house in New Hampshire by the river, and mm-hmm. I used to dance at Lake Walpole, I guess it is, and Peterborough. And places like that where Ralph called. I had danced with him a lot. And I invited him down to Norwalk for my contra dance group graduation. And he came. And when I sold the house 10 years later, it still smelled of cigar smoke. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. But, did you remember Duke Miller?
Duke Miller.
From Leavenworth, New York.
Only by name.
Yeah.
Only by name.
Well, he was a protege of Rouse. But not just that thought just occurred to me. One other question I want to ask you.
I want to talk about Ralph a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm just about finished with my questions. Go ahead.
Being summertime is up there and dancing with Ralph, when I went to Boston, I was a traveling auditor for the Singer Company for a while.
Okay.
So I went all over the United States and Canada. And I found dances everywhere I went. That's why I like that job. The only reason I like that job. I was at the Arlington Street YWCA at one of Ralph's dances where he called Ted Sinella up and put his arm around this young fella and he said, Ted Sinella has announced his engagement today to Gene, and Gene was there. Well, how long did that go? You know, how long ago was that? Because when Ted died, he was a grandfather about six times.
Sure.
I was at Ted Sinella's engagement party.
There you go.
And Ted did invite me up to the Scout House at least once to call a dance. And I stayed at his house. And the two things I remember about Ted, one is that when I called at Neffel one time, which I did a number of years, Ted said, Culver, I got the feeling that you were watching just one square. That's the most important lesson I ever learned, probably, in my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is the most important one I learned from Ted Sinella. So now I watch every square in the dance, and I don't cater my calls just to the one that happens to be down front. And that's a mistake usually, but usually they're the good ones.
Yeah.
And you lose them in the back if you're watching just the square in front of you.
Right.
So you cast your eyes all about.
Yeah.
The other thing that I got, of course, from Ted was his wonderful book, his first book,
mm-hmm.
and Honor Your Partners,
mm-hmm.
and I have the second book, too, that was given to me as a gift. Ted Sinella wrote in my book, the first one, he said, to a fine traditional caller. It was like tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Oh, I'm not...
Well, the traditional part of it, you know. He put me right where I am.
Well, that's fine.
That takes care of that one. Tony Parks.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tony Parks.
Yeah.
Tony Parks lived in New York City, you know,
mm-hmm.
before he went to Boston. And one night I had a job out in Queens. And... for some reason or other, I couldn't get a piano player. He was sick or something. And I heard about Tony Parks, and Tony Parks came. He was just a pianist then. He wasn't a caller.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, and he played New England style, which was all right. Paul Post plays melody. Paul plays fantastic melody. Tony didn't play melody. I was carrying the melody myself. But in true Boston style, he was pounding away on the bass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Tony Parks was known at all in the field.
Right.
I didn't have anything to do with making them. But the next thing I know, he turns up in Boston and he starts composing and starts writing books. And then he got married. He's turned out to be quite a guy.
Oh, yeah, and his wife also. She's
Betty.
Got She's quite a gal, too.
We had a job in Weston in a barn way out in the woods once. Henry Wallace for president. It was a campaign. Well, Henry Wallace was skirting on the communist line or socialist line at least. And I had a Catholic girl piano player who was about 18 years old, Chickie O'Mara from Norwalk, who was going to do that job for me. The last minute, her mother wouldn't let her go because of the politics involved in Henry A. Guard Wallace for president. That was after he was Roosevelt's Secretary of Agriculture first, and then he was his vice president. And then for Roosevelt's third term, he was up against Henry A. Wallace. England. Oh, another one. I saw on the email site mention of Margot Mayo in New York City. Did you ever know that lady?
I know the name. I don't never met her.
I'll play one of her records for you. Not right now, maybe, unless you want it now. Margot Mayo ran a series of quadrilles is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's square dancing, but it's historic formations that go way back to the French dancing masters that came over here to teach the rich plantation owners' daughters how to dance, which that, incidentally, is the way I describe square dancing. People say, it's a Western thing, is it? Hell no, I say. I'll give you another diversion, too. I'd go to a dance, and somebody on the committee, when I walked in, would say, where are your Western boots? I'd say, Western boots? That has nothing to do with square dancing. Hell, I don't even live in West Norwalk. Anyhow, Margot Mayo's quadrilles were held in a big apartment in, not an auditorium, but the apartment that was lived in on Sunday afternoons. And she would play the music. I guess it was recorded. I'm not sure. And callers who were dancing would toss the calls back and forth. One guy would call for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes and like some of the jamborees that you go to where they do that, except that this is in the 1950s, and they dance set dances. I'll play one for you later. I have their 12-inch 78s that I got back then. Margot Mayo. I went through the dance, didn't I, from the beginning to the end. What else do you want to know?
Well, let's see. You're 83 now, right?
Yeah.
And
can't believe I'm 83. I got here so damn fast.
You know? Well, you're going on 59 then, right?
Well, most people guess I'm not over 79.
Right. Yeah. Like Bill said, you don't look a day over 85, right?
Yeah.
Well, this has really been a real pleasure, Culver, and a great reminiscence, and happy to hear about some of the old times around. I know you've been up in this area for a long time, and I never realized that you had actually gone through modern Western square dance classes one time.
I don't brag about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. We won't tell Al then, right?
But Al knew that I was in a class.
Oh, sure.
It was at Nathan Hale School.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which my early kids went to, and they called it Nathan Jail.
Okay. And I went to a dance of yours one time, and that was in Wilton, I'm quite sure. And you probably had your anybody can play, because there were about 10 musicians on the stage, I think. And
you know what that might have been? It might have been my 25th anniversary
I think it was. I think it was.
It was my 25th anniversary, yeah. I remember, and we had to open the other gym. It was such a big party.
Yeah.
It was my 25th anniversary as a caller, and they gave me a Brooks Brothers shirt that has red stripes and yellow stripes and green stripes and purple stripes. A Brooks Brothers.
Yeah.
Because one of the Christian Scientists who was in that group worked for Brooks Brothers. They gave me that shirt, and I wore that for 20 years, probably, just to dances. It's Egyptian cotton, and I have to iron it, which I do. I don't let my wife iron. I used to iron it, and it wore out after about 20 years, and a very nice lady in Roxbury knew about that, and I was taking care of her father because I do Meals on Wheels. And she got another Brooks Brothers shirt just like it for me. And I still wear that.
Have a darn.
When I have an outdoor dance, I have a denim version of the same shirt.
There you go.
And that and the red sweater and my captain's cap have been sort of trademarks. My hair's changed. It used to be dark.
Yeah, mine too.
Like yours.
Yeah.
It's gone a little bit on the white side.
Yeah.
I tell my daughter that that it's brown, and she doesn't agree with me. That's one thing we don't agree on.
Right.
I have a wonderful collection of records here.
Yes, you do.
I have 78 10 inches that I got in 1935.
There you go.
When I was at NYU, going to NYU Nights. I did that after Babson. When I started work, he worked for the Decca factory in Brooklyn, and he used to bring me records that were extras or cast offs, or maybe he stole them, I don't know.
Well, you must have known Dick Krause.
I knew Dick Krause because I danced to
sure,
Dick Krause.
Yeah.
And Eddie Gerlacher I know very well.
There you go.
Eddie came out to Norwalk. He did at least one dance in Norwalk. Steve Hopkins got him out there. And I'll tell you something that I've said about Eddie, and I hope he forgives me. At least he's not around to hear me say it anymore. But you can hear him clicking his false teeth on the records.
Right, yeah.
Do you know that?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
I remember him standing out in the middle of a circle, a big circle. He was teaching swing maybe or promenade, some complicated figure like that. And he pointed over, not to me, but to someone else over there. Oh, red sweater, not like that.
He was a character.
He sure was.
Yeah.
And his records are all over this country.
Yeah.
He and his wife traveled in a trailer.
Yeah.
And they went to schools. And for years, school teachers, gym teachers, used his records to teach.
Right.
I also went to Central Park a couple times, like Alan, you did, and danced there with him. That's where, I said on the email, that's where Uptown Downtown comes from.
That's right.
And I think you guys said the same thing.
Yeah, well, because it was one way he could indicate the direction. He said,
yeah.
Because everybody knew which
Everybody knew which is Uptown and which is Downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You talk about Eddie Gerlacher and his son called too.
Yeah, Don.
Don. And but mostly he didn't travel so much.
No.
He was on Long Island.
Yeah. Frank Kaltman?
Yes, Frank Kaltman.
You know him?
Folk Dance House. Yeah. That's where we got the records from. Folk Craft.
Folk Craft.
Folk Craft.
Yeah. How about.
I have a number of his records. Also, Floyd Woodhull's records.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've got a bunch of them.
Have you, really?
Yeah, I've got maybe half a dozen or more.
We have some at the archives.
You could use
I don't know how complete our collection is. But.
Well, I could catalog these for you someday and see if there's anything you wanted. I went to California once. I had to drive a car, a brand-new Cadillac, from Atlanta to Los Angeles for a customer of the Singer Company.
Mm-hmm.
Back when cars were rationed and hard to get, we got one for this good customer. And I drove it out there. And I met Bob Osgood, and I danced to Arnie Cronenberger. And Arnie was my idea of a...
Okay, the phone rang there temporarily. Go ahead.
I danced to Arnie Cronenberger. And at that time, he was... This was the early 50s.
Yeah.
He was doing dances that I can still do.
Yeah.
I have records of Arnie Cronenberger. And 5 foot two, his 5 foot two is one of my favorite dances with my seniors in Brookfield. There aren't many people that can do it. It's a fast dance. I have run out of names.
Mm-hmm.
I have maybe three or four other Arnie's records, and I subscribed to Sets in Order for a long time, and I cut all the pages out, and I never called any of the dances, but I still have the pages.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful trip. That was a business trip, you
yeah.
understand.
Yeah. So.
So I knew Arnie, and Bob Osgood I knew. Who else around? I'm thinking of musicians, too.
Sure.
Tude Tangway was always a favorite
yeah.
of mine. Tude played over his shoulders and under his legs and...
I wish we had a videotape of that.
Yeah, that would...
Did you ever remember Pop Benson and Tude doing where they played each other's instruments?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, he was an undertaker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that always struck me as an incongruity.
Well, for the sake of the tape, Tude would sit in Pop Benson's lap, and Pop Benson played banjo.
Yeah.
And... So Tude, who is the fiddler, would strum the banjo.
And Pop would handle the bow.
Right. And Pop handled the bow.
Yeah.
And they each fingered their own instrument, but the two of them did together. That was quite an act. I've never seen anything like it.
Tude's son turned up at one of my dances in Bantam about 3 years ago.
Right.
Plays the bass fiddle now.
Right. He doesn't call, though.
No, he doesn't call.
Well, Tude,
well, Tude didn't call either.
No.
Up here, on Route 109 between Washington and New Milford, tell me the name of the barn.
Oh, Medlicott's.
Medlicott's.
Yeah.
Was Medlicott's. Medlicott's burned down before we moved here. We moved to Roxbury 13 years ago. But I had come up to Medlicott's beforehand several times and danced, and I find loads of older people up here. They met their wives or husbands at Medlicott's.
Yeah.
I did a job for the what do you call it? Heart therapy department of a hospital up here at the White Memorial place, and these were people who had heart attacks and were recovering and in therapy, and I did a square dance for them,
yeah.
you know, which they figured would be good therapy.
Right.
And I'd say out of maybe 20 couples, there were probably 5 or 6 couples who had met at Medlicott's.
There you go.
And subsequently married. And
yeah, well, Louis Rosato, the accordionist, used to play there. Probably Eddie Munson did, the guitarist.
Yeah, Eddie was...
But Jimmy Gilpin, who was the fiddler of the Pioneer Trio, he was way down in Shelton, and I don't think he played there. But
yeah, well, that's right in Eddie's home ground, though.
Sure.
He lives in
Morris. Morris, right.
Yep.
But, well... I tell you what, we're almost down to the end of this tape, and I do have a luncheon appointment with this same Louis Rosato that we're just talking about, as a matter of fact. So, and then I'm on my way back to Rhode Island, but I certainly want to thank you very, very wholeheartedly for your very interesting interview. And
well, you can tell it's a pleasure. I enjoy talking about dancing.
Right.
And I'm flattered that you would come and want to interview me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So I'm going to shut off and shut up, as they say.
Ralph you Page, shut off, I shut up.
Right. Ralph Page said his mother taught him years ago, he said, if you're ever going to speak in front of people, stand up, speak up, and shut up.
Right. Well, there are a couple other sayings like that. Winston Churchill was once asked to speak, and he was told that his subject was sex. And he got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure." And then he sat down.
Very good.
The other one is, why is a speech like a wheel?
No.
The longer the spoke, the greater the tire.
There you go. So, well, thank you, Culver. I'm going to turn the tape off.
Please do.
Right.
Before I get carried away.
Okay.